so am I still waiting, waiting a long time,
waiting for tonight. Oh.
Listen to review, man.
What was that?
It was just a noise to clear my throat.
It's like a Warrior promo.
All my life, all I ever wanted was to be a wrestler, fighting in the ring, winning that belt. And so I dreamed every night that I was the Undertaker, smashing skulls in, breaking arms.
But I'm so damn, dude, that is some badass wrestling. Yeah, this guy crushes.
Do I have what it takes inside?
Welcome to a special festive edition of Review Away. Happy Independence Day, Way, on this 4th of July weekend.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it is. What did you do to celebrate the 4th of July today?
Well, I hosted The Law tonight with Dan Lavransky. We went over UFC 116. You know, I knew it was going to be a pick'em going into the main event of UFC 116, and mm-hmm. it ended the exact way I assumed going into it.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
Undisputed heavyweight champion.
I know. What a very thrilling. And, of course, we all can now say that the outcome is good.
And I don't think words can possibly describe the Chris Lieb and Yoshihiro Akiyama fight.
Holy
I'm not
shit.
Even going to try and describe that one.
Yeah, yeah. Did you notice the in the first round...
the hit.
Yeah. Did you see that?
Shocking.
I really couldn't believe it. And just the whole thing at the end, the way it ended, it was just... I mean, I knew that it was going to happen, but I didn't know exactly that would happen.
Levin's hair color was kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's always a color.
Another strong UFC card this past Saturday night, if you missed it, everybody. But we're going to get into this week's show, Way, because we have maybe the most feedback we've ever gotten in a week, and that was this past week.
So, wow, what happened? Well, how did we skyrocket? If you noticed the members last week we were complaining that we accumulated maybe a total of 5 members over the course of a week. It would always hover from 850 to 851 to 849. People were leaving and coming. But this week, we're up to 900, are we?
We're at 891 as of this recording right now.
So I think we are up to 900.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Well, I can at least speak to my own self in that if you are a wrestling fan and were not part of this group, you likely got... We're in the crossfire of my carpet bombing this week on Facebook to invite people to our group. I must have sent out about 400 invites, which resulted in about 40 ads. So 10% success rate.
That's good. I don't usually join any groups.
I know, neither do I. I always hit ignore before I even read them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So thank you to all the people who blindly joined.
Before we get into the review... you posted a note just the other night stating what happened to Daniel Power. Has he left?
Well, I don't think he even has a Facebook account anymore.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
How were you made aware of this?
Because I was on the law group, and then somebody was talking about it over the past week. They were mentioning how all the photos that he had uploaded suddenly disappeared.
Wow.
All the collection of the great...
Maybe he went back and photos. Listened where we called him out for not... posting original work.
He commented on that. He said that he was defending himself, and he said that he never claimed to own any of the work.
They were funny pictures he found.
Yeah, yeah. Come back, Daniel. We it's not like we hate you. It's just
the power that be.
Yeah.
Daniel.
Maybe he's on an independent radio show podcast now. Maybe he's working the independents waiting out a suspension.
Maybe, just maybe, he posted a picture that was just not PG enough for our group, and yeah. You and me had our hands tied.
Well,
and we're forced to...
We have sponsors, John.
We had to fire Daniel
yeah.
and send him out to the independent Facebook sites for at least 90 days.
Where he changed his name to Power Danielson.
Rumor is he's going to be on the Chikara podcast this week. Their podcast, A-Go-Go.
I hear that being able to post longer messages is really good for his heart.
We just wanted him posting 30-second posts, and we also wanted to change his name.
Yeah.
He was known before under his real name, but we changed it to Daniel Power. Fuck. Okay. We're losers. Let's get into our review away. We chose, two wrestling-themed episodes. The first one, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and then South Park. So let's start with It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
First of all, thanks to Jay Hunter for suggesting these and also uploading them for all of us to view.
Yes, I enjoyed these shorter episodes to review this week. Did them very quickly at work this past week. We'll start off, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. What was the episode title of this way?
It's called The Gang Wrestles for the Troops. Do you watch the show? Have you seen the show
before? I bought the first season of this, and I watched the first episode, and it did not grab me. And since that time, I've lent the DVDs away to a friend, and I've not got them back. But it didn't. Everyone was telling me how great this show was, and the first episode just didn't do it for me.
Likewise. A friend of mine showed this show to me, not these episodes, but previous episodes, and maybe it's just the it's a very original. I mean, it's a pretty original concept. It's a show featuring four people and Danny DeVito, four younger people, and I don't know. They just
yeah. I'll say right off the top here, I didn't really follow the names here.
Me neither.
Of the characters, so I refer to them as like girl, guy, gang. I'm not even going to make an attempt to remember these people's names, nor do I care. So let's get right into this review. It starts off with the group at their bar watching Hulk Hogan and Nikolai Volkov from the 80s and are making fun of his hair. Now, I don't want to nitpick here, but they were watching this on television, yet this is set in present day.
They were watching it on a laptop. It was not a television.
Why was the WWE logo in the bot? Were they watching classics on demand?
They could have done that. They could have been watching an upload on a mega upload.
Okay. I thought it was a TV.
No. That's why there was a chat message that came
out. Oh, that's right. Okay. They're arguing over whether it's fake or not, and Danny DeVito defends the legitimacy of professional wrestling. And then, as you mentioned, the girl, Deandra, is chatting with a soldier online, and the gang decides to hold a wrestling show for the troops because this particular soldier is coming home.
The funniest part of this was the four of them watching Hulk Hogan, and then they comment that Hulk Hogan has always had a look that was basically blonde Chinese hair and the skin of a hot dog.
Now, did you find this offensive at all, and would you agree with the assessment of his hair?
The funny thing is, it's not really funny, but I had heard somebody mention this. I mean, a non-wrestling fan. It was maybe Justin or something. I don't remember. But somebody had... we were just talking about wrestling, and then that person said, do you like Hulk Hogan's blonde Chinese hair? I was like, what the fuck?
I don't understand. Why is it Chinese hair?
Because, it's straight and coarse.
Oh. Okay. It's also blonde. I don't know too many Asians with blonde hair.
Well, that's why they say blonde Chinese hair.
Oh, okay.
I think it's pretty accurate, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. Blonde Chinese hair.
Okay, then. So they're going to stage tribute to the troops on a local indie scene. And they decide to go attend a local show at an armory where Roddy Piper is wrestling as Mr. Maniac. Now, I'm sorry, but we started the show off where they are fans of 80s WWF, and now we have Roddy Piper playing an anonymous wrestler named Mr. Maniac.
That's true.
Come on.
Wouldn't they have figured?
Apparently not. Two of the guys in the gang, we learn, are ex-backyard wrestlers, and apparently somebody watched The Wrestler because Piper was playing Randy the Ram in this particular episode.
Yeah, he was.
As Mr. Maniac.
Did you also notice that Piper was wrestling at the indie show?
No, I didn't. Who was it?
It was Don Fry.
That was Don Fry?
That was Don Fry.
How the hell did I not notice that?
From what I could tell, I was pretty sure it was him.
Well, it probably was him.
You can't mistake that mustache.
Wow.
And he also mentions, well, first of all, he they ask him for his Piper's rate, and the guys are concerned that he would be charging a lot of money because this is a big professional wrestler. And Piper just says, I get paid $30 weekdays, $50 on weekends.
That's about the going rate for some of these indie guys.
True?
Well, I mean, who's ever heard of Mr. Maniac? Just another wrestler who never made it.
Yeah.
Then we go to the girl who is meeting the soldier that's coming home from Iraq. And she's waiting, and apparently their code name was Desert Rose. So she's wearing a dress with a rose with a boombox that says that's playing Seal's Kiss from a Rose.
Uh-huh.
Why wouldn't... There's a song called Desert Rose by Sting. Wouldn't that make more sense?
I don't know that song.
Okay. The soldier then comes out of the bus, and he's in a wheelchair. And suddenly she is torn because she doesn't want to date a cripple.
Mm-hmm.
So the soldier thinks that's Desert Rose, and she informs her, no, I'm her friend. I'm not interested in you.
And then the guy says, well, I thought you would be Desert Rose because you're wearing a rose-colored outfit, and you have a rose sticking in your hair, and you're carrying a rose, and you have a boombox that's playing Seal.
She says, no, you are mistaken. Then we go to the bar where Danny DeVito is perfecting his gimmick called the Trash Man, and the gimmick is he spills garbage and then eats it. Then the three guys are going over the tag team gimmick of the Birdmen that they're going to be performing as on this indie show.
They wanted to be called the Birds of War because they thought eagles were a good symbol of America and also of manliness.
Sure. We then go to a restaurant where the girl has hired a heavier set woman to pose as Desert Rose and notes how big she looks and compares her to a grape. So then she instructs her where the army guy is sitting, and the heavy woman goes over. And he raises up from his seat, and he can walk away. And they start making out, the large chick and the army dude.
It turns out that he only had a knee injury,
yes,
and that's why he was in the wheelchair.
When he was getting off a plane in Germany. And now the blonde girl wants the guy. Drama!
Did you notice what the soldier was wearing when he was in the wheelchair?
He was wearing a pair of jorts.
That
Danny DeVito and the other guys had purchased for him as a thank you for defending their country. So he was sporting some jorts.
Yeah.
When I first saw, when Danny DeVito came to the bus stop before the guy had gotten home and he shows that we had bought him jorts, I thought John Cena was going to be the army guy.
He
would
Marine.
Be the Marine. Anyway, we go to the outside of, the arena that they're going to be having this indie show, and Piper and the guys have an in-depth discussion on today's crowd psychology, with the guys wanting an old-school presentation, and Piper informs them that they want it to be gruesome. They don't want that shit anymore. They want blood. But then says that the guys remind him of his own kids, but then he backs off, saying, I don't have kids anymore, in a plot twist that is never answered.
Yeah, because this... it was really just... almost a parody of the wrestler.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really become almost a stereotype now, the image of a old...
Broken down wrestler.
Yeah. So that's what they were playing up here.
The guys decide that they don't want to wrestle Piper because he's a maniac. That's his gimmick. And they go find a guy named Cricket to wrestle. And then the guys... right before the show, they're dressed up as chickens or birds with painted on abs way.
Yes, they put a lot more emphasis... Well, they were trying to look like eagles, but they ended up looking like chickens instead. And the whole thing here is that they put most of their effort into the production of the entrance and their outfits, and nothing into the actual wrestling themselves.
They're like those indie guys who they show up on their first day of wrestling school with a gimmick.
Yeah.
You can spot them out a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, Maniac, Roddy Piper, is arrested right before the show due to unpaid parking tickets. And I found this interesting because I watched this on the same day that that TMZ story came out that Roddy Piper attacked a comedian on stage.
Oh.
For hurling out racial insults. So, go to TMZ for more on that story. Cricket comes out under his gimmick as the Talibomber, and he comes out yelling, "Terrorism rules!"
There were like 20 people in the audience.
Yeah, it was an authentic indie show, eh?
Yeah.
The guys sing a ridiculous song as the Birds of War on their way out to the ring.
Drop a beat for us, you ready?
So, clap, so, so, clap, so, clap, so, so, clap.
Come on, man.
Met by utter silence. I thought I was watching NXT. The girls, the girl then comes, and she's in the middle of the ring and begins to sing Kiss from a Rose because the fat girl and the army guy are in the audience, and she wants to convince the guy that she is Desert Rose. Again, why she did not sing Desert Rose, I don't understand. There's a well-known song called Desert Rose. What happens here? As she's singing, the Talibomber throws a chair, hits her in the face with a chair, and apparently breaks her nose. Then the Talibomber starts throwing sand into the eyes of the Birds of War. And then Danny DeVito, who's been relegated to the referee and denied his trash man gimmick, he throws a garbage can at the Talibomber, and it ends up slitting his throat. So we have all three of the Birds of War laid out. The Talibomber has gone down with a sliced throat, and DeVito just stands there, raises his arms as Real American plays by Rick Derringer, and he ends the show by saying, "I knew this shit wasn't fake." And that was the entire show, and if I had gone to this indie show, I would have been pissed.
Yeah, it was just
this
one
was
match.
A terrible indie show. It was an angle.
It was one match.
Terrible.
Not even a match. A match with a non-finish.
So, I watched a show. The first show I ever watched didn't grab me, and with the wrestling tie-in, it sure as hell didn't grab me. I give this this episode a 3 out of 10.
Three out of 10.
I didn't get much out of it at all. This comedy just, I don't know, I just don't enjoy this show. I understand that some get it, and I probably, if I watch more, maybe it would grow on me.
Uh-huh.
I understand they have a lot more freedom on FX, but this was not funny to
me. It's a show that's really, really fast. Meaning they talk really fast. There's really no room for any sort of break at all. It's just line by line by line by line by line nonstop. And that's the style. That's what makes it sort of stand out. It's not really my type of show either, but I would say that the wrestling tie-in made me more interested in it, especially with Piper. It's a very simplistic view of pro wrestling, of course. It really shows that the public perception of pro wrestling really just focuses on the pageantry and the stupid costumes. I mean, nobody cares about the actual wrestling itself. To the average person on the street, pro wrestling is just dudes acting, bodybuilders acting. I give it 6 out of 10. It was all right.
All right, then. And we'll move on to our second episode we reviewed this week. It was South Park. This is from season 13, entitled WTF. And Wei, we start off with the gang at a wrestling event.
Oh, you don't watch South Park. You don't know.
I know the characters in South Park. I used to watch it quite a lot. They're at a WWE event in Denver, Colorado, and Edge and John Cena are in the ring, each with a woman. And Edge is upset that Cena. This is after Cena admits to sleeping with Edge's girlfriend, and he's taken his job.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, someone followed the Edge Matt Hardy storyline.
At what point in reality, in the actual WWF world, when would this have possibly taken place?
Season 13 was only like, aren't they on season 14 right now?
Yeah, but I mean, in the actual WWF world, when would John Cena have feuded with Edge? And this
2006.
So this probably took place. And who do you think the two women were?
I don't know. Cena's never been paired with a woman. Edge, I guess we could assume, was Lita.
I just thought it was so funny just listening to their generic promos with incredibly dry acting.
I think that was the point.
Actually, this was my favorite part, probably. Edge and Cena being... There's South Park interpretations of Edge and John Cena. Like, two... Could you think of two more random people to choose for a wrestling show? So Edge is like, Cena, I'm gonna shut your mouth once and for all.
And then Cena delivers a clothesline.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. Funny. It is funny listening to Trey Parker impersonate John Cena.
Yes, it was rather funny. The guys all decide that after this show, they want to start wrestling. So the next day, they join their amateur wrestling team at school, complete with headgear. And much like the last show we were talking about, they show up with gimmicks in mind, with Cartman wanting to be the Rad Russian. And their coach informs them that that's all fake bullcrap and that this is real wrestling. And they find it a little too homosexual for their tastes.
Dude, the f*** are you doing?
Get back on the floor. I'm teaching you the starting position of wrestling.
That's not wrestling, dude. That's f***ing gay. Yeah, what are you, a child molester? Where's all the cool costumes and jumping off ropes and stuff?
Oh, not this again. Let me guess. You just went to that stupid WWE show in Denver last night.
Yeah.
Ugh. The WWE is not wrestling. That's a bunch of fake bullcrap. How stupid are you? Real wrestling, boys, is this.
Well, this is f***ing lame, dude. Let's get the hell out of here, guys.
And they walk out. And they decide to start up their own backyard federation called the Wrestling Takedown Federation.
WTF.
Ha. Huh. And
did you ever have your own backyard wrestling federation?
No way. I know you, though, did.
Yes, I did. Yes,
tell
I did.
Tell us a little bit
when
about
I,
it.
When I was in
what
high school.
What was it called?
It was called SMC.
SMC. Scarborough. Scarborough
no.
Something Championships.
No, it was a bit more, vulgar than that.
Oh,
but I won't. Let's we don't have to talk.
Wait,
about
wait, what was the acronym? SMC.
Yeah.
Okay, I want everyone on the Facebook group this week to guess what SMC stood for, and Wei will reveal it next week, or else he's a bad co-host.
Yeah. So yeah, we would do really really stupid shows.
Didn't you beat up a girl once?
No, I didn't. That was my friend Shu.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Shu beat up a girl, and we wrote
really,
what was really
your, bad what was your character's
lines.
Name?
I was the commentator.
You were the commentator.
I was the booker / commentator.
Oh,
I was
so
the
Vince
McMahon.
You were
Vince
McMahon.
Yeah.
Waiting. None of this exists on video.
It all exists on video.
Oh, no.
None of you. No
we
one.
Totally have the capabilities.
No
to
one will
this.
ever see this.
Why not?
Ever.
Oh, dude. You have to.
I might put up some of the scripts. I saw some of the scripts, and they're so bad.
You wouldn't put up like a minute's worth of this.
No, of course not.
Do you know how many hits we'd get for that?
5.
Guys, private message Wei. Demand,
I don't think so.
Demand
I don't think
it.
So.
He can't say no to you guys. Anyway. They have a script of their first match where it says steps of the first match. Number 1, break up. Number 2, call a slut. 3, referee stop. 4, hit with a chair. Bullet points. Unlike the WWE. Not too overly scripted here.
Their storylines always had to do with sleeping with girlfriends.
Yes. They definitely drew based on their mic work here, where they get in the ring and they just start hurling insults at one another, going the Jerry Springer route.
I'm telling you guys, you got to see this. These kids ain't more than 8 or 9 years old, and they got more problems than you can imagine.
There's this one kid. He saw his father get murdered, and yesterday he finds the killer, and it's this other kid who's an ex-cop. Needless to say, he whooped his ass good.
Yep, and there's this little girl. She's actually addicted to getting abortions. Got pregnant by nearly every boy there.
You're shitting me. No, we're telling you, these kids are fucking crazy. You gotta check it out.
And Cartman brings in his Mexican colleague, El Pollo Loco. Then Stan and Kyle's characters fight over Irene, which is Cartman dressed in drag.
Yeah. Well, and we should say El Pollo Loco is Kenny, but in a mask, and in the style of
That's
mask,
right.
Same mask as Rey Mysterio, complete with a Mexican stomach tattoo.
Yep. They fight over to this woman, Irene, who we mentioned is Cartman, and she has an addiction to abortions.
Classic Russo-style booking.
Russo was probably taking notes watching this, saying, this is the next wave. They continue running shows, and they end up drawing more than a TNA does on a regular basis. They go back to the school where the amateur wrestling coach, Connors, is fired, and they claim that he has gay porn on his iPhone, which is actually amateur wrestling clips that he has on his iPhone. Mm-hmm.
They fire him because of all the headlines on the news talking about how dangerous professional wrestling is and how risque and adult-themed all the storylines are.
And he basically is... written as the old fart who just wants everything to go back to the old days of wrestling. What real wrestling is.
Real wrestling.
I'm sure Russo was laughing at this man.
Yes. And all they start attracting a really big audience of local hillbillies. All the people that end up going to their shows are the most southern...
the redneck audience.
Yeah.
Because of the big crowds, the WWE ends up contacting WTF and states that Vince McMahon is coming to their show this Saturday as a talent scout. They then go and they show some of their in-ring work, and I did note multiple unprotected chair shots during their matches. They meet at Sizzler to discuss the work rate of some of their other wrestlers, including Token, Butters, and Jimmy. And Cartman states that they need better workers for Vince McMahon. So,
they have tryouts, but not tryouts, auditions. They have auditions like a theater group would.
Yes, and here's a sample of some of the auditions and the questions that were asked.
Number 17, step forward, please. You're wrestling a Muslim immigrant. You suspect he could be a terrorist, and your parents died in the 9/11 attacks. Go.
You dirty Muslim bastard! I don't trust you, and I never will. Do you know how it feels to lose your parents? No, you wouldn't, you smelly brown Middle Eastern piece of shit.
Thank you. Number 24. You're wrestling for the right to marry Mackenzie Phillips, but just learned that she had sex with her father. Go.
Your father. Your own father. I don't care if you were on drugs, you sick whore.
Thank you.
That guy's a pretty good wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not bad.
Then we go to Coach Connors, who's going to invade the SmackDown event with Vince McMahon attending. So Vince McMahon was attending a show that was blatantly using his intellectual property in SmackDown. They tease a live abortion at the show, but is interrupted by a wrestler who claims they were an aborted son who has come back to wrestle. And somehow it features El Pollo Loco bringing in a bloody baby doll.
Well, we've had the storyline in WWF.
What, where a failed abortion?
Not necessarily, but Kane is basically a long-lost brother who was burnt in a fire.
I guess there are similarities, somewhat.
It's just as ridiculous.
Then Coach Connors fires a missile into the arena. It dies on the ground and then all of a sudden bursts into fireworks for a fireworks display.
And Kenny dies, of course.
Yes. Connors preaches the origins of wrestling in Greece and how they took his job, which gains the audience support. Audience applauds the coach for his lack of will to live and impresses Vince McMahon, and Vince offers him a main event spot in the WWE. So Coach Connors is going to the WWE. The boys argue amongst each other. They blame the writing of the show, which is typical of workers. And the audience walks out saying, this is fake.
Yeah, because they don't like to watch actual wrestling.
Yes. This episode I thought was significantly better than It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And I'll give it a 7 out of 10.
I'm a pretty big South Park fan. I've seen most of their episodes. But I thought that for a South Park episode, this was not nearly as satirical as they could have been. Most likely because, you know, they...
I don't think any of them are actual wrestling fans.
No.
And can make it really endearing to wrestling fans.
To us especially.
Yeah.
You know? they don't know.
It was just kind of a blanket commentary on professional wrestling.
Yeah, yeah, and again, like the previous episode, the perception out there is that wrestling these days is mostly just bad acting, nothing to do really with the actual physical competition, which is true, isn't it? Who cares about the actual wrestling? It's all about the storylines and the sleeping with girlfriends. I give it a 6 out of 10, mainly because I've seen much better episodes of South Park.
All right, then. So those are our reviews for this week, everybody. And we'll now go into our feedback, and boy, is there a ton of it this coming week. We'll start off with Jay Hunter, who writes, "Hope you enjoyed the shows this week, guys. I can't really tell if the episodes are actually any good because I marked out to every wrestling reference, especially the wrestler gimmicks. El Polo Loco and the Talibomber shouting 'America sucks, terrorists rule' was hilarious and par for the course for professional wrestling. You can see the Philly guys watch and love wrestling as they discuss the most important aspects of getting over, name, gimmick, and ring entrance, and Frank pushing the awesome heel trash man gimmick. The South Park crew leaned heavily on the Russo Attitude Era Springer storyline route, i.e. everything but athletic competition, and the stereotypical redneck fan base, which is pretty funny. Although the show got a bit lost towards the end, I kept thinking of Jim Cornette as the wrestling coach yelling, 'For wrestling!' Just FYI, they took our jobs is a South Park mem used by those rednecks in a previous episode. Look forward to the review."
I believe it's meme.
Meme. I've never heard of that word in my life.
It's like a popular, something that gets really popular on the internet, like that Rick Astley thing.
Oh, I've never heard of that word.
Okay. But not necessarily, in this case, not the internet, but South Park. Jack Pisco. "Hey, John and Wei, just listened to your King of the Ring review. Excellent job, guys. I got to say, it was good watching this again. I won't say what the obvious memorable moment of that event was, because that would be moot. I will say one that stuck with me was JR's solo commentary on the Al Snow match, which was genius compared to what Cole is capable of today with a partner. Yes, it was a silly match, especially with the finish. However, JR sold it well with his digs about the King and Brian Christopher's relationship, and the few moments he was treating it as a legit wrestling match. I was laughing when he stopped his train of thought during the match and uttered, 'What am I saying?' As a side note to John, love Durant on the World Cup and the Boy Scouts. Two items that I'd like to point out. In the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode, there was a segment reminiscent of Three Count in the old WCW. In the SP episode, Stone and Parker's version of Cena is better at promos and the clothesline than the real one."
Richard St. H. writes, "Enjoy your reviews as always. Somewhat a newbie to ROH and TNA, started following both of those in November of 2008. The King of the Ring 1998 was what made Foley my favorite wrestler because he matched my lifestyle back then. Did not take anything from anyone. I stopped following wrestling after Foley joined Vince McMahon's Kiss My Ass Club because you sold out. I just became a wrestling fan after that. Keep up the good work, fellas."
Oh my god. You didn't take anything from anyone. What a reason to stop watching wrestling, because Foley sold out. Jermone Jackson. "Hey guys, I'm a big fan of your podcast. Keep up the good work. Could you guys do a review of WCW's first World War III pay-per-view? It was the first pay-per-view I ever purchased, unfortunately."
Yes, that's one we'll definitely put. And for people, I upset somebody because I ignored their request last week for a Bash at the Beach 96 review. All these ones I will write down and we will get to them at some point, I promise. Corey Hardigan. "Great review this week as always, and the interview with Jim Ross was interesting. I loved when John asked, 'Are the death threats warranted by Cornette?' in reference to Jim Cornette and Vince Russo, my favorite line of the show. I did see the Always Sunny wrestling episode and thought it was one of the better episodes of that season 5. This episode made me laugh a shitload. Probably most was the scenes with Cricket as the Talibomber, which were absolutely hilarious, being super stiff to everyone and doing his a la chants. I thought all the gimmicks mentioned could, would, and probably were used at one point in wrestling's history, which is both sad and awesome. I've never seen the South Park episode, but we'll probably catch it before your review next Sunday. Keep up the great work. Your shows are the perfect mix of nostalgia, wrestling, and humor."
Thank you. Sam Kennerly. "Hey guys, great review as usual this week. When you get to 1,000 members, you should have a drinking contest together."
No.
"Whilst reviewing an XPW show. For every unprotected chair shot, you have to take a shot of whatever your alcohol preference. You never know, maybe Pollock might like them after several. Review Illegal Aliens with China, as I posted the link on the board a lifetime ago, and I promise you will not be disappointed by the shit production and shit acting. Keep up the good work, and as an Englishman, you provide a welcome break from the terrible, terrible World Cup that everyone in England has a boner over.
Yes. We actually do have the first two seasons of XPW on DVD that Big Vision Entertainment sent us.
I'd be up for that. I've never actually really watched
XPW.
Me neither.
Travers Cummings writes, just listen to the King of the Ring review. I remember seeing Undertaker tossing Mick off the top of the cage and screaming, holy shit. I proceeded to point my finger at my older brother, who was always telling me wrestling was fake, and started yelling at him. See? It's not fake, you asshole. I think I was a little upset that Foley was actually hurt. You guys do an awesome job every week. Well, I'm glad that Hell in a Cell brought you and your brother so close together.
Christopher Kunkel. I've been... What,
that sounds like Runkle from Californication.
I don't watch that show either. I've been listening to your show for a few months now, and I absolutely love your reviews. I remember watching King of the Ring 1998 on pay-per-view. I was 14, and my dad would let me order the Big Five at the time. He considered KOTR one of them because he loved the tournament format, even though most of them were an absolute joke. But I wasn't going to complain. I got my wrestling fix. I remember us watching the Hell in a Cell match and legitimately thinking that Foley was dead. I've always been a fan of a good cage match, when done right, but this was just too much. The match easily led to Foley's retirement in 2000. Looking forward to the South Park and Sunny reviews. I thought both were hilarious and can't wait to hear your opinions. Scott Putski for president.
Patrick McHugh writes, not really a massive South Park fan, but I saw the episode when it first aired over here because I knew it was the wrestling one. It had its moments and was funny in places, but there was nothing that hadn't really been done before. It's just the same parodying of pro wrestling and its fans that has been done for so long and has probably entered mainstream consciousness by this point. Nothing really new, and it just didn't do it for me. I also officially hate myself for knowing every single word of that Eiffel 65 song.
There are only like two words. Or three words.
It's like an LL Cool J song.
Yes. I felt the same thing about those episodes. I wonder how much a non-wrestling fan would enjoy it, though. I wonder.
I think non-wrestling fans might enjoy it more than wrestling fans. Yeah. Because for wrestling fans, it's like the Ready to Rumble style. Mm-hmm. This is what we think of you people.
But aren't they trying to cater the show towards wrestling fans?
I think that might be the attempt, but in doing so, they're presenting them as just these idiots.
Yeah. We're actually smart. We require smarter writing, smarter comedy.
Yeah, that's what these producers need, the wrestling fans, to tear apart the writing of these wrestling episodes.
Lee Russell, the South Park wrestling episode is a pretty much dead-on representation of the peak of the sports entertainment side of things. It reminded me of when Monday Night Raw would only run angles with perhaps 2 minutes of actual in-ring action. I still remember the Raw I saw on TV, which was broadcast from Toronto. Pretty sure it was the late 90s. That featured no matches at all. It was just bullshit skit after bullshit skit. It was a show that turned me off from being a diehard fan of wrestling to the casual fan I am today.
I would love for anyone to point out this episode, because there's never been an episode of Raw that has featured no matches. But
he's probably exaggerating.
I think he is exaggerating quite a lot here, especially if he's talking about a Toronto show, because odds are you or I were at that show. Lance Miller writes, hey guys, big fan. I think that the Triple H testes 1-2-3 was actually ripped off from Beavis and Butthead, because Butthead did it as a mic check in one of their episodes. Keep up the great work. That's why our fans are great. They find out the references for everything.
Right, yes. Thank you. Oh, Mark Stewart. Hey guys, loyal fan here. Enjoy listening to you smash those old shows each week. Still laughing about the Johnsons. The South Park episode is great and really talks to how easy it is to be sucked in as a pro wrestling fan. Really? All in all, it is a solid episode and an excellent choice. It is a pity the Hulkamania Australia Tour DVD has not been released. As for being there myself, it would be a great review piece.
Oh, yes. It would be, if we ever get a chance to review that, we'll have Mark on the show with us.
Who's that? Oh, Mark Stewart. Yeah.
Ryan Gilbert writes, awesome review of King of the Ring 98. I love the story of John wanting to quit the Boy Scouts. Looking forward to your reviews on the TV shows. I've always thought that because of the connection between wrestling and South Park back in the late 90s, that South Park would have done a parody of it years ago rather than in 2009. For anyone interested, here's a mini commentary. Okay, you'd have to go back to on the Facebook page.
Oh, that's cool.
Ryan Gilbert, and there's commentary
nice.
Of the episode. So yeah, you should definitely go check that out.
I want to check that out. I've never seen any of the South Park DVDs, so I'd like to see that commentary. I'd like to see where their mindset was, what their inspiration was behind the episode. Stephen James Wright, John, you made me look like a retard at work today. When you hit your World Cup rant, I burst out in laughter and people thought I was nuts, which happens often when listening to Review Away, but I agree 100% with everything you said about the World Cup. My boss went out and bought a Germany jersey, and she hates soccer, but wanted to fit in. Fucking so lame. I hate the World Cup.
Amen.
I love the World Cup. Fuck you guys. It's great.
Countdown to July the 12th, way.
Hopefully I'll win, one more I'll win that pool. I'm just going for Argentina. That's Argentina, great. That's my team.
Okay. Steve Casson writes, Now that I watch the Foley bump off the cage, I immediately look at Hugo's fall off the chair, more like the roll off the chair. Thanks, John.
he must be so conscious of that, you know. Like he must practice that bump off the chair.
He could. It seems very. He was very safe in taking that bump.
They must all do it. I mean, like even Jim Ross. I'm sure he's practiced the fall off the chair or something.
When does he ever fall off a chair, Jim Ross?
There are times, aren't there, when the announcers get knocked off from their seats in the booth?
I don't know.
Okay. Andy Simpson, in Foley's book, Have a Nice Day, he talks about how the fall off the cell was planned. Taker wasn't too sure, but he went with it anyway. The chokeslam through the cage was, in his words, an ad-lib by the cage. At some point during the match, Taker told Foley, let's go home, before they did the tack spots. According to the book, Foley refused to go home, and then we know what happened during the rest of the match.
Hmm. And finally, Daniel Markey writes, just listen to Review Away, King of the Ring 98, and John, I can't believe you hated the head and shoulders bit from the Too Much match. I remember watching it and thinking it was the funniest thing ever. Well, Daniel, we completely disagree. I hated it.
I don't disagree with Daniel. I agree with you. I thought that was very witty, very clever. Head and shoulders.
Different definitions of clever in our books, way. So there is all our feedback, everyone. You can always post your own comments at reviewaway.com, which is reviewaway.com. We are trying to hit 1,000 members on our group, so be sure to harass all of your friends. Or in the case of one member, hack into your friend's accounts and join the group, because he's added about 2 more members mm-hmm. as a result of his hacking skills.
Yeah, that's great. And go on. You can post as your friend in under these accounts, and we will applaud you. We will like the post.
Absolutely. So go post there as well. We're always taking suggestions, and we will try and get to those suggestions, as I've been taking the task for ignoring some people's requests. We will do our best to get to them. There are only a There are infinite amounts of events out there, and we can only review one event per week. I was kind of torn for next week, Way. At first, I was leaning one way and then thought of some other events, and so I decided last night to post it on the Facebook group of what we should review for next week, and the votes are in, and the one that everyone, it only won by one vote, Way, so I thought we would review the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior for next week. Some people were complimenting us over the last week or two about some of our reviews from way back that we did of the Kurt Angle DVD and the Kane DVD, and I think this one should be rather entertaining. The Self-Destruction of the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, that's a good one. How long is that?
I think it's 90 minutes of Ultimate Warrior burial. All
right.
So it should be good times. Yeah. And we'll also have comments from Ted DiBiase and his thoughts on the Ultimate Warrior potentially going into the Hall of Fame this past year, along with DiBiase, and how Ted was very happy when the Ultimate Warrior did not accept the invitation. So we'll have that next week. Ted DiBiase on Review Away with us as we review that. And also to keep in mind is in August – You and I, Wei, we did a special guest spot with Brent Chittenden at the two assholes talking about nerd stuff. We did
podcast.
A podcast where we reviewed No Holds Barred with our live commentary.
Yes, and that'll be coming out in August?
I believe so.
Okay.
Man month for those guys.
Yes, and you can download that and you can sync our commentary track along with the movie, and then you can listen to you, myself, and the rest of the gang from Tatens.
Yes, and we might even do a contest where if you email us in the five words that Wei drops during the entire 90-minute video, maybe you'll win a prize, because Wei, you were silent during this commentary.
I was just stunned. I was stunned at the show.
Yeah, I think it's two extremes. I think I wouldn't shut up, and you wouldn't speak up. So it's a nice balance.
I'm a quiet viewer. When I watch things, I think a lot. I don't really talk.
Yes, you're engaged in the presentation.
But that'll be a great contest.
Yes, the five words that Wei said. Someone will email it in. So Wei, as we get set for some self-destruction of Ultimate Warrior over the long weekend, what are we going out with musical-wise?
We will be going out with a song that I don't know, but a song that I wish I knew, because I would have probably been as angry and passionate as you while watching this episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I would like to go out with Sting, Desert Rose.